Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, We Are Called to Walk in Newness of Life. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, but our focus is going to be on verse 4, so I'm going to be reading Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, there are powerful truths within the entirety of Paul's letter to the Romans. And the few verses that I've just read contain some of those very powerful truths. Paul's letter to the Romans is a systematic treatise on his profound understanding, that is, the fact that believing ones have been justified by faith. This is Paul's major thesis. The first part of his letter to the Romans deals with the doctrinal aspect of justification by faith, and the latter part of his letter to the Romans deals with ethics, that is, the walk of the believing one. Please note that for Paul, there is no synthesis, as it were, of cosmic values with the work of Christ. The work of Christ, in Paul's thinking, is radically other than cosmic value. Paul, in other words, Paul emphasizes antithesis rather than synthesis. Theology of antithesis revealed his understanding of the work of God. For Paul, when an individual is in Christ, which is a prepositional phrase that Paul uses over 148 times in the 13 letters that he contributed to the New Testament canon. For Paul, to be in Christ meant a very radical way of being. For Paul, this was a new ontology. The old ontos, or ontology, as he explains in his letter to the Ephesians, is over for the believing one. And so we must understand that to be born anew by the power of the Spirit of God or as he says, as Paul says in this letter to Titus, through the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means to produce life again. And that is the emphasis of being born anew by the Spirit of God. God takes that which was ruined by sin. Now, it is the power of God that makes new that which was ruined by the work of sin. And so this is why thinking that some people have when they say, well, I am merely a sinner saved by grace, that those words are not found in the New Testament. The New Testament presents the believing ones as saints, or collectively hagioi, those who are set aside unto God. The prepositional phrase to Christ, in, which is a preposition in Greek, is also a preposition of rest. It is a preposition that means cessation of that, or cessation of the old way of being. In Christ, in is also not only a preposition of rest, it also speaks of vocation. It is also a locative. But it speaks of a new vocation for the believer. He or she is in Christ. And Paul not only says that, he says, Christ, there is no male, no female. There is no barbarian or Scythian, bond or free. He says that all are one in Christ. All the distinctions of the old life disappear. They evaporate. They are no longer relevant. Racism, economic position, these things are gone. But Christ is all in all. We, as the believing ones, have a positional sanctification in Christ because we are said to be in Him. And then there is what we call a practical sanctification, in which we grow. We grow in our understanding. We are to grow, I should say, in our understanding of who we are and whose we are. We were bought with a price. And so Paul also says that we are not to use our new freedom in Christ as a veil for subterfuge or to practice sin. And an individual who consistently practices sin may be a believing one, but he is a believing one who is in flesh. And Paul states very emphatically that those who practice sarks, or the works of the flesh, he said some of it makes makes life weak or ineffective. And Paul even says that some sleep. Some believers were sent home or were taken out by the Lord because they refused to give up the practice of sin. You see this in Acts, the book of Acts, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. These individuals who lied to the Holy Spirit. So it is very important and very imperative that believing ones have an understanding of who they are, that is not out of the cosmos as a source, because this cosmos wants to teach believing ones to believe in synthesis and not antithesis. So, but please understand what is going on. All this is built upon a profound lack of understanding or ignorance of Western history. It also has to do with a profound lack of understanding as to understanding logic and reasoning. And so the bogus truths and half-truths that people hear today are fallacies, and they don't know it. They do not understand the twisted mental gymnastics to which they are privy. And so they are the victims, as it were, of very profound information, which is phony or fake or false information. It's just not really information. People are conditioned to believe lies. So the radical information that we take from the Bible has to be very radical, because we read about in the New Testament how God values persons. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, notice the language, that whosoever believes in him should not die or perish, but have eternal life. But this is radical. Long ago, a man by the name of Arthur Young, who was the inventor of the Bell helicopter, wrote a book entitled The Geometry of Meaning, because he understood the limitations of language when it came to reasoning. And so he wrote what he called the measure formula. It's a very, very interesting book, a very worthwhile reading. And in that book, he talks about how the universe, the foundation of the universe is love. In the early part of the latter century, or the 20th century, a great physicist wrote that the universe appears to be the creation of a great thought or a great thinker. So scientists in the early part of the last century had moved away from an understanding of the universe as that is the building blocks of the universe as being basically tiny, hard, tiny pellets, or atomism, Greek atomism. Writer to the Book of Hebrews says that the universe which we see or which we perceive with the optic nerve was not made by things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 1 states that it is the Son of God who upholds or propels the ages with the word of his power. The divine speech upholds the, I'm going to say, visible universe. But please keep in mind that our optic apparatus only receives or perceives 1/1,000,000th of the electromagnetic spectrum. And so this universe in which we live is, we've come to understand, is merely standing waveform imposed upon void. This is the universe in which you and I live. into this universe, the Son of God appeared in the first century AD. And in 33 AD, he gave his life on a Roman gibbet. He gave his life for all mankind. This is radical. That's the Son of God. For God so loved the world. Now, if you know anything about Western church history, you know about the Crusades, you know about the bloody, you understand the political reasoning behind the Crusades, you understand the pseudo-theological reasoning behind the Crusades, and how the Crusades changed Western history, as it were. In a very real manner, and the atrocities of the Crusade, and those who did those atrocities, reportedly in the name of Jesus. And those events were radically other than the love of God. So, focus of the Word of God is, that is, what God has done to Christ Jesus, is to create the Ecclesia, church, the assembly of called out ones. It has nothing to do, in the New Testament, the term Ecclesia has nothing to do with a physical building. Ecclesia has to do with a group of individuals who are called out. That is, the called out ones who belong to Christ Jesus. Ephesians, that is, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, speaks about the ecclesia, that is, the body of Christ, summa of Christ. Paul's letter to Colossians speaks about the phele, that is, Christ, the head of the ecclesia, or soma, head of the body of Christ. What is God doing? God is calling out a group of individuals from mankind who have accepted his message of his love through Christ, through Christ Jesus. This is God's initiative. This is very powerful, and it is very radical. There is no synthesis here. There is, however, a radical antithesis. So Paul is writing to the believing community. He is not writing to the humankind at large. Paul is speaking about God's anthropology, the new anthropology in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, beginning at verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more." And so verse 17, Paul writes, "Therefore, if any man in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, let me show you something different about verse 17. And so, if any in Christ, we take out the words that have been italicized. If any in Christ, new creation, not new creature. And so the word kaina, in the Greek, or kaine, I should say, in the Greek, means that which is qualitative. if any in Christ, a qualitatively new creation. Old things and the archaic, old things. Now, this word originally meant, is the word from which we get our word, archaeology. And so this word means ancient. Old things are past. Very important verb in this passage, of course. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the old life, with its beliefs that were appropriated or that were a part of the of darkness, spiritual darkness, that were a part of Sophia, that is the old way of thinking, and the when the region when the mind was darkened through sin, that is now over. The things that seemed consistent in the old life, the things that seemed to be valuable in the old life, are now gone. That old life, that old thinking, originated in Scotia, or the consequence of darkness. So the mind, the perception, the beliefs of the individual were shaped around Scotia, within Scotia. And so the resulting life, such as it was, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said that all of us, at one time, were dead in trespasses and sin. This old life is the life of death. This is the old ontology. And it's incredible to me today to watch certain so-called apologists for the faith, and their the critiques they have of the current culture or Scotia. You have to understand Scotia. That is what the biblical materials tells us about Scotia, the consequence of darkness, from the word Scotos. If it were not for the for the light of God, Paul writes, it is through God's own light that you and I have come to understand the truth. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul writes, for God, who commanded the lights to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, all of this is God's work. In verse 4, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom, verse 3 reads, but if our gospel, Evangelion, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Very important word in the New Testament. In whom the God of this cosmos or age hath blinded, notice, the language, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is very powerful. And so, you need to get an understanding of what the Word of God teaches. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind, speaking of course, the Satanas, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, Jesus' sake. Now, the first part of verse 5 is is notably important, for we preach not ourselves. Very important. So, Romans 6, Paul writes for us in verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is the new death, the old destiny of the individual whose mind has been shaped by Scriptura is over because of what Christ has done. That old life is gone. So it is true. Now this baptism that he is speaking about, water baptism is symbolic of this spiritual baptism that is done by the power of the Spirit of God. Do you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, Paul loves this verb, this adverb, I should say. We are buried. Note the language, note the verbs. We are buried with him by baptism into, the preposition here is ice, D-I-S, or toward the death. That, like as Christ was raised up, aorist indicative passive, Christ was raised up out from among the dead. X is a preposition for from the dead by via through the glory of the Father, through the instrumentality of the glory of the Father. Even so, we should also walk in newness of life. That is, the word here, newness, means qualitatively different. A qualitatively different walk because of the work of the living Christ. This is the new being, a term used by Paul Tillich. This is the new being. It is radical. It is powerful. And please note that in the writings of Paul, he presents four different words for power. We are most familiar with the term dunamis. There is skotos. There is kratos. And there's one other that I can't call for memory at this time, but there are four different words. He uses these four different words in his letter to the Ephesians. God has done something wonderful for us, marvelous for us in Christ Jesus. So this new life, other than anything in the cosmic system. And so we are to live differently, powerfully, and effectively in Christ Jesus. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you and have a wonderful day.